So thank you all so much for joining again. Thanks for your very, very valuable association. So can everyone hear me clearly? Is the audio good?
Hare Krishna Madhuji, I still request that you can put everybody on mute.
Okay.
Because still not able to hear you that clear.
Okay. Is this better? Oh. Okay. Okay. Perfect. So we'll start today's session. We are continuing to see Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Today is session 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing to read from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and today is session number 5. In the previous class, we stopped at a point where Brahma gave reasons to Narada as to why Shiva is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So we listed the reasons, but we didn't expand on it. So that is what we will be doing today. In this section, we will see how Narada Muni hears from Brahma about the different reasons why Lord Shiva is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And then we will also get a quick peek into the meeting of Lord Shiva and Narada Muni. And we'll see what conversation they had. But the section is really, really huge, this meeting with Lord Shiva. So we can't really finish it in one session. So we will carry forward whatever we have not finished, and we will go really slow on this. Actually, Shiva Tattva is very complicated, very difficult to understand. So we'll try to go very, very slow. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatavinam Namavam Vishnupadaya Vishnupreshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namavam Vishnupadaya Krishnupreshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayatiri Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the previous class, we saw that Brahma gives his reasons why he is not the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And Brahma says that actually the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy is Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva. And then he begins to explain. He says, Brahma begins to say, first and foremost thing, Lord Shiva is the very dearmost friend of Lord Krishna. He is always intimately associated with the Lord in many, many ways. So that's the first thing he says. He's very intimately associated with the Lord. Then, Lord Shiva is always intoxicated with the taste that is found in Krishna's lotus feet. And because of this, because of the experience that he has from tasting the sweetness of the lotus feet of Krishna, he has absolutely no taste in things of this material world. So be it power or be it rulership or be it sense enjoyment, which all the demigods are after, Shiva doesn't really care for them. He knows the higher taste. So Lord Shiva is so oblivious to his surroundings. Brahma says, as a, you know, like imitating materialist like me, Brahma is telling himself that he is a very materialistic person. So he says, Lord Shiva, as though imitating materialistic persons like me, who so attached to this universal affairs, Lord Shiva goes around naked. He just wears garlands of dustura and arka and garlands of skull and bones, and he smears himself with ashes from crematorium. So this is how Lord Shiva dresses. This is how he conducts himself. Now, in this connection, this dustura is actually, it corresponds to datura seeds. They are slightly poisonous, and also they are used as an intoxicant. So the arka flowers and the dustura seeds, these are all actually poisonous substances, but they can also be used as intoxicants. So this is how Lord Shiva picks his decorations. He wears these as decorations. And not only that, he garlands himself with skulls and bones, and he smears himself with ashes. And what kind of ashes? Ashes that come from crematorium. So like this, he moves around so aimlessly. He acts like a madman. And he's just unable to conceal his glories in spite of all this. In spite of all this, he's always ecstatic. We see that Lord Shiva, he just rejects economic development. He rejects religiosity. He doesn't want power. And Lord Shiva doesn't even want the so-called liberation. He has no desire to at all be the independent controller. He only identifies himself to be the servant of Krishna. So Brahma is saying all this. He's saying, all the other demigods, we are all decorated so well. We wear garlands of beautiful flowers. We have nice smelling fragrances. We dress so beautifully. We are always seen with nice golden ornaments. But all this decoration, they last for a very, very short time. And ultimately, they make us feel unsatisfied. But Lord Shiva, look at him. He's actually decorated with bones and skulls and intoxicating weeds. So even if they decay, actually there is no problem. He just doesn't care for these things. He's not bothered by these things. Actually, all this, whatever Shiva is wearing, the way he appears, all this is very external. But internally, Lord Shiva is so beautifully decorated. He's decorated with the real sense of enjoyment that he finds in the mercy of Krishna. So Lord Shiva is so glorious and Lord Shiva is so attractive. So these are the realizations of Lord Brahma. He's glorifying Shiva. He's glorifying the appearance of Shiva. He's glorifying the detachment that Lord Shiva has. And he glorifies how happy Shiva is from within because he has received the mercy of Krishna. Then Brahma says, not only that, Lord Shiva, he carries on his head the Ganges. And what is the Ganges? Ganges is the water that is emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord. And when he dances in ecstasy, actually he destroys this universe. Even the dance of Lord Shiva is actually a dance of ecstasy. And the resultant action is that he's destroying the universe. So this ecstasy, he's always in ecstasy thinking about the Lord. The Lord of love, he's holding the Ganges on his head. So Brahma says, Lord Shiva is very, very special. Not only is his appearance special, not only is his mood special, not only is he always detached, but Lord Shiva and his wife, Maya Devi, they can actually give liberation that even I desire. So actually, being Brahma, all that I desire after these 100 long years is that I want to just get liberated. And actually, Lord Shiva can give that liberation. So all the inhabitants of his planet in the spiritual world, they are all liberated. He's equal to the Lord. Actually, he's non-different from the Lord. So here, these statements, here in these words of Brahma, we see that there is a certain sense, there is an element of non-difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. We say Lord Shiva is like yogurt. He's like the transformed milk, right? That's how we describe the position of Lord Shiva. He's like transformed milk, which becomes yogurt. But still, we should understand there is a sense of non-difference because ultimately, this yogurt is also actually from milk. So when Lord Shiva manifests in that way, it is an offense to think he is actually completely different from the Supreme Lord. So Brahma explains this point. He says Lord Shiva becomes Muktida. That is, he becomes a giver of moksha. Actually, this incident is explained in Padma Purana. And there is a verse that talks about how Lord Shiva actually grants liberation. So Lord Shiva, in this particular verse from Padma Purana, Lord Shiva himself testifies this. He testifies the fact that he can give liberation. He's actually talking to Narada Muni in that context. He talks this in Padma Purana. So what is that verse that Shiva says? He says, Tava prasada devesha muktita bhavami aham. By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, I become capable of giving mukti to others. So, Lord Krishna, being independent, alone can give moksha directly to his devotees. But Lord Shiva, he is also able to give mukti to some of his devotees on account of the mercy of Lord Krishna and not really independently by himself. So, that is the understanding. Lord Shiva is considered to be one of the best of the Vaishnavas. As we say, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. So therefore, he can act like a guru to everyone. Just like how a guru is being non-different from Krishna in one sense, we say that the guru is actually different from Krishna, but yet there is a sense of non-difference, right? So like that, Lord Shiva is considered as non-different from Lord Krishna. And hence, he can actually give liberation. So one should take Hari Bhakti from Lord Shiva, and thereby one can attain liberation. Also, pure devotees who attain the abode of Shivaloka in the spiritual world, they are actually considered liberated. Lord Shiva is Nityamukta and the residents on his planet are actually considered always liberated. Many devotees have been blessed by following the instructions of Lord Shiva. While it is an offense to consider Lord Brahma to be the same as the Supreme Lord, because he is like a Jiva, he is like one of us, Lord Shiva is actually not equal to the Jivas. He is separate. He is not Jiva Tattva. He is Shiva Tattva. So, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are equal in that sense. In the sense that he is the greatest of Lord Vishnu's empowered incarnations. So, Lord Shiva is especially empowered to deliver these elevated tastes of devotional service. So, he has that power to give devotional service. So he is considered very, very special. And hence he is considered as a giver of liberation. Because he is able to give that taste of devotional service. And by the mercy of Krishna, he is becoming Muktida. He is able to give deliverance. Okay, so this is the understanding that is explained in the purport by Srila Sanatana Goswami. So after talking about the exalted position of Lord Shiva, when Brahma talks about how actually Krishna especially favors Shiva all the time. So first he spoke about the external appearance of Shiva, the mood of Lord Shiva, how he's so detached and yet he's so happy. And then he told he can even give liberation, he's so great. After telling all this, then Brahma tells about how Krishna always favors Lord Shiva. There is some kind of special bonding between Krishna and Shiva. He begins to give some examples. He says, when the demon Maya, he's also called as the Lord of Tripura, he troubled Lord Shiva. After receiving benedictions from him, Krishna actually came to Shiva's rescue. Similarly, when the demon Vrikasura, he troubled Lord Shiva, what happened? The Supreme Lord came and he saved him. He took personal interest in Lord Shiva and he always encouraged Lord Shiva with loving words. So once Lord Shiva, he empowered this Maya Danava to construct a heavenly well that is filled with nectar to revive the dead. And eventually this Maya Danava, he made it very, very difficult for anyone to destroy Tripura. This particular place became very, very difficult for anyone and everyone to destroy. Actually, even Lord Shiva was not able to do much after that. He gave a lot of trouble. So at that time it was Krishna who came to the rescue. Similarly, Vrikasura, he was one demon who was blessed by Lord Shiva. We know the story, we read this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was blessed by Lord Shiva and he was given the power that if he touches anyone's head, their head would crack into a pieces. And he decided to test his powers by placing his hands on the head of Lord Shiva himself. So he also blessed, Lord Shiva also blessed Ravana with great strength and influence. And then what happened? Ravana, he tried to shake Kailash Mountain. So like this, each time Lord Shiva encouraged the demons by giving them blessings and being pleased with demons, he got into trouble. But when he got into trouble, who came? Krishna came to his rescue. So in the case of Tripura, the Lord came there and he drank up the well of Mayadhanaba. And he eluded personally Vrikasura. He took the form of a small Brahmin boy. He went and he told this Vrikasura that you should not be trusting the promises that are being made by Lord Shiva. After all, Lord Shiva, who is he? He is the Lord of Pishachas and Pretas. How can you trust a person like this? This kind of person, do you put your faith in him? So you should test it yourself first. So like that, Vrikasura was, he was made to touch his own head by Lord Krishna, by Lord Vishnu, and he was destroyed. And in the case of Ravana, Lord Ram personally went there. He personally took the charge of killing Ravana. He fought with Ravana and he killed Ravana. So the Lord handles the case of Lord Shiva very differently. Remember, in the previous session, we were saying about how Brahma was repenting and how Brahma said that he was chastised by the Lord. When Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu a boon, what happened? Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad. We saw this in our previous session. So at that time, what was the Lord's reaction? Actually, the Lord was chastising him, was telling him, you know, don't do this again. Please be careful when you give boons. He came and he chastised Lord Brahma. But then when Lord Shiva gave boon to Vrikasura, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained how the Lord reacted. So these are the words of the Lord. This is from 10th Canto, chapter 88, verses 38-39. So we see that the Supreme Lord tells Lord Shiva, he says, just see, O Mahadev, my Lord, how wicked this man has been killed by his own sinful reactions. So the Lord is saying that this Vrikasura was actually being killed because of his own sinful reactions. And then he says, indeed, what living being can hope for a good fortune if he offends great saints like yourself? Because he has offended the greatest of all souls, the spiritual master of this entire universe, Lord Shiva, he is now suffering. This is the reaction of the Lord. He is saying, just see, oh my dear Mahadev, how this wicked man has behaved. He has been killed by his own sinful reactions because he has offended you. He has offended the spiritual master of this entire universe, who is Lord Shiva. So this is how the Lord spoke when Vrikasura actually made an offense. And there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually talks about this conversation between the Supreme Lord and Lord Shiva. And he says that this was a kind of a mild chastisement. Okay, it is not the kind of chastisement that Brahma received. This is slightly different. Actually, here in this statement, Lord Vishnu was saying, he was actually glorifying Shiva's compassion. He was mildly rebuking him, but still the focus that he was having is that he was trying to glorify Lord Shiva's compassion. So like this, Lord Vishnu, he reacts very differently when Shiva gives benediction. And when the Lord came as Parashuram, he himself worshipped Lord Shiva, advertising his greatness everywhere. So this is how there is some kind of a personal love that is going on between Krishna and Shiva. This is what Brahma is pointing out here. So although the Lord was personally present again during another incident, which was the churning of the milk ocean. So even at that time, the Lord was personally present. He was there. He was there as Kurma. He was also on top of the Mandara. He was also churning the milk ocean along with the Devas. He was there everywhere. He was there as the super soul in the hearts of the Devas and the Asuras. He was simply present everywhere. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam that talks about this, how everyone saw the Lord being present everywhere. The Lord was present everywhere during the churning of the milk ocean. But what happened at that time? All the rulers of the universe and Lord Vishnu himself, they decided, they chose to worship Lord Shiva to actually drink the poison. So Lord Shiva was ceremoniously bathed. He was glorified by everyone. Actually, while churning the milk ocean, the Lord was personally present there, as we saw. And if he wanted, he could have counteracted the poison himself, right? He could have had the poison himself. But he chose to give Lord Shiva the opportunity. Why? To glorify Lord Shiva and to advertise his prowess. So all the demigods, they offered prayers to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was requested to drink the poison, which eventually became a unique ornament on the throat of Lord Shiva. So actually in this pastime, we see the greatness in the character of Lord Shiva. That is what Lord Vishnu actually wanted to advertise. He wanted to advertise the character, the exalted character of Lord Shiva in this pastime. So Lord Shiva, when he was requested by the demigods and Lord Vishnu to actually drink the poison, he first looked at his consort, Parvati Devi, and he told Parvati, "My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Lord Hari is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, give me permission. Let me drink this poison so that all the living entities may be saved and let them all become happy because of this act." So, like this, after informing his wife Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva, he began to drink this deadly poison. It was very, very deadly. The poison had swelled and it had become an ocean. But by his great mystic power, Lord Shiva, he concentrated it to fit it within the size of his palm in his hand, and he drank it. So you can imagine the concentrated deadliness of this poison. And with the spirit of being willing to suffer and even give up his life if needed, to show kindness to others, he took this poison and he placed it in his mouth and he immediately drank it. And when it came to his throat, the throat turned bluish black due to the venomous effects. And because of this, Lord Shankar, Lord Shiva, is sometimes known as Neelakanta or Kalakanta. And all the devotees of the Lord consider this to be the most beautiful decoration on the body of Lord Shiva, the throat that had turned bluish. So, although by material conditions, it is considered to be a blemish, you know, this mark on the throat, but because he accepted this blemish upon his body as an act of pure love and kindness to all living beings, and exclusively for the pleasure of the Lord, he knew that the Lord is going to be pleased. He accepted this hardship willingly. So this is the most beautiful of all the characteristics of Lord Shiva. So in drinking this poison, Lord Shiva, he demonstrated the true quality of how to render the greatest and the highest pleasure and the most beautiful service to the Supreme Lord. So there is no greater pleasure than being willing to take risk of one's own life and make sacrifice for the upliftment and welfare for others. He did all this because Krishna wanted it, because Krishna liked it. So that is the beauty of Lord Shiva. Paradukha Dukhi. A devotee of the Lord is not concerned with his own happiness and distress, but he is very sensitive towards the happiness and distress of others. And what is the greatest welfare work? The greatest welfare work is to guide and to lead others on the path of eternal life, help them take up spirituality. So this was demonstrated by Lord Shiva. He saw that Krishna is going to be happy by this. Everyone is going to be relieved by this. This is a service, and he took up the hardships. So like this, Brahma was glorifying him. Brahma was so, he was ecstatic glorifying Lord Shiva. He was telling his glories on and on. Then Brahma said, "Narada, you must actually exercise your memory power. You have read all the scriptures. You know all of this. You have read so many scriptures. Haven't you read all the Puranas? All the Puranas are full of songs. They're all full of stories highlighting the compassion of Lord Hari, his special mercy on his beloved Lord Hara, Lord Shiva." So the Lord's attitude towards Lord Shiva is something like an affection of a father towards his beloved son. Now, actually, it's very sweet. Brahma is the son of Lord, of the Supreme Lord, right? He is the son of Lord Vishnu. But here, Brahma is glorifying the affection of Lord Krishna on Lord Shiva as being like the affection of a father towards his son. So, Brahma was melting in the glories of Lord Shiva. Then Narada bowed down to Brahma and he lovingly glanced down towards Kailash on this planet. And while he was just about to set off towards Kailash, within this material universe, Brahma had something to tell him. Brahma stopped Narada and he said, actually, Lord Shiva resides in Kailash just to bestow his favor on his dear devotee Kuvera. Kuvera is the guardian of the universe. He rules the northeast direction. Lord Shiva, despite his elevated position, he takes up this menial service as Kuvera's guard. So Lord Shiva's abode in Kailash is actually in this material universe. And when compared to his eternal abode beyond this universe, this abode of Kailash is actually very modest. Very modest in its opulence, very modest in its glories, very modest in Lord Shiva's entourage present there. So Brahma says, if you go to this Kailash, you will not really understand the greatness of Lord Shiva as compared to me. Just like how the Supreme Lord Krishna resides in this Satyaloka as Mahapurusha, and he resides in so many other places in this material universe, in spite of his greatness, in spite of his living in the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Shiva, he lives in Kailash just out of his love for his dear devotee Kuvera. Then Brahma told Narada. Now, I will tell you an opinion of Vayu Purana. In the Vayu Purana, it is stated that the planet of Shiva is actually outside this material universe in Shivaloka, which is eternal, and that place is not a creation of Maya. There the devotees of Lord Shiva who understand his relationship with Krishna, those pure devotees exist there. This is not the abode of the Shaivites or Jnanis or Karmis, who think that Lord Shiva is an independent supreme controller. For those who think that Lord Shiva is independent of Lord Vishnu, he is the supreme controller independent of Lord Vishnu, this abode is not the place for them. That abode is eternal and it can be attained only by pure devotees of Shiva there, and he is accompanied by his personal attendants there, who share his opulence and who always are there to serve him. But what is Lord Shiva doing there? He is worshipping the deity of Lord Shankar's son, who has thousands and thousands of hoods. Both Lord Shankar's son and his expansion, Lord Shiva, are actually non-different. Shankar's son is the Lord. Shiva is worshipping Shankar's son. But actually Shiva is an expansion of Shankar's son. So in that sense, they are non-different, okay? But still Lord Shiva is worshipping Shankarsan. That is the glory of that Shivaloka. You must go there. In fact, during the time of destruction of this material universe, who destroys? Rudra destroys. He's from this material universe. This Rudra is expanding from that Shankarsan who is there in the spiritual world. So this Rudra is a specific aspect of Lord Shiva, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance in this material world. But in the abode of Lord Shiva, which is Shivaloka, beyond this universe, everyone who sees Lord Shiva worshipping Lord Shankarsan, one expansion worshipping the other, they become astonished. Especially when Lord Shiva dances and offers his wonderful prayers after worshipping Lord Shankarsan, everyone is so amazed. Everyone is so much in bliss. So like this, Brahma describes the glories of the Sadashivaloka, which is there beyond this material universe. Actually, Lord Shiva's worshipping of Lord Shankar's son can also be seen in this particular material universe in Ilavarta Varsha. In Ilavarta Varsha, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapter 17, verse 16, there is a verse of what is happening in Ilavarta Varsha. Actually, I don't know if some of you have attended the Goloka Chat seminar. We have actually gone through all these universes. We have gone through the different material universes. We have gone through the spiritual world. We have gone through Sadashivaloka, Vaikuntha, Goloka, Vrindavan, and the 14 planetary systems, the entire Bhumandala, everything. So in this Bhumandala, there is a planet called as the Ilavarta Varsha. And Lord Shiva actually resides there. And he's the only male there, actually. The rest of them are all females. And there is a pastime also about this. And I think you will even read this in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Sudyumna tries to enter Ilavarta Varsha, how he becomes a woman. Sudyumna becomes a woman. There is a chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this Ilavarta Varsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maid servants of Goddess Durga who actually serve him. And in that particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Verse 16, it says, the quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Shankarsana. Shankarsana is the fourth expansion and he is certainly transcendental. But because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Shankar's son is the original cause of his existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. This is a verse that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So even in the Ilavarta Varsha, Lord Shiva is present, and he understands that he is an expansion of Shankar's son. Shankar's son is the cause of his existence, and he is worshipping Shankar's son all the time. And in the Purport, Prabhupada has a few things to say. Prabhupada says, sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. This verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon whom? He is meditating upon Lord Shankarsan in trance. He is in trance meditating Lord Shankarsan. Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world and Vishnu maintains it and Lord Shiva destroys it. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity Shankarsan are technically called as Tamasi. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamoguna. Since both Shiva and Shankarsan are always enlightened and they are situated in this transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature, which is goodness, passion and ignorance. But because their activities involve them in the mode of ignorance, sometimes they are called as tamasi. So this is a clarification by Shraddha Prabhupada in the purport. He talks about the transcendental position of Lord Shiva actually. Shiva is not affected by the mode of ignorance, but he is called as tamasi because he is the Lord. He is the Lord of that mode. He is in charge of destruction. And he's an expansion of this Shankar's son, who's actually the Supreme Lord. So this is a verse about Ilavarta Varsha. And after this, after explaining all this, Brahma said, O Narada, my dear son, though not everyone can easily go there to Shivaloka, which is there beyond this universe, you have the power to go there. Why? Because you have pure devotion to him. You understand his position very well. So now you can go there. You go there and take shelter of him and just see the mercy he has from Lord Krishna. You will understand his position. Because Narada respected Lord Shiva properly as an expansion of the Lord, and hence he is non-different. He understood this fact that Lord Shiva is an expansion of the Lord. In that sense, he is non-different from the Lord. And because he loved Shiva in that sense, in spontaneous devotion, there was no bar for him to enter that spiritual abode of Shivaloka. So in a very joyful anticipation of meeting Lord Shiva, chanting Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna, Narada, he departed for Shivaloka. Now, we will also cross all the material coverings of this universe, and we will enter Shivaloka along with Narada to see what's happening there. In Shivaloka, what is Lord Shiva doing? What is Lord Shankarsan doing? What are the devotees doing there? So we'll also enter along with Narada. Now, as Narada crossed all these material coverings and he finally entered Shivaloka, he saw that Lord Shiva had just finished worshipping his deity of Shankarsan. The rituals of the worship were very similar to what he had seen in the worship of the Prayag Brahman. Remember, Narada started his travels with the Prayag Brahman. First he saw the Prayag Brahmana, and from there he went to the southern kingdom, and then he met with Indra, then he met with Brahma, and now he's entering Shiva's abode in the spiritual world. He's going there. So when he saw the worship of Lord Shiva, he saw that this worship was very similar to what the Prayag Brahmana was offering. But he saw that after the worship, Lord Shiva was manifesting ecstatic symptoms after worship. Lord Shiva began to dance in ecstasy, and he was loudly singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. And he was encouraging his dear attendant Nandishwar and goddess Uma Devi, who was present there next to him. He was encouraging them also to sing along and clap. Uma was clapping her hands for the kirtan of Lord Shiva. The sight of all this delighted Narada. In a trance, Lord Shiva was singing and dancing, and he was offering very beautiful prayers to his dear beloved Lord Shankarsan. And one of the prayers that Shiva offers to Shankarsan is actually recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll read one prayer of Lord Shiva. This is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Verse 18. Bhaje pajanyaranya pada pankajam bhagasya krishnasya param parayanam bhakteshvalam bhavita bhuta bhavanam bhavapaham tva bhava bhavanishwaram. My dear Lord, Shiva says, you are the only supreme worshipable person. You are the supreme personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. My dear Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in the material universe by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. So we see the mood of Lord Shiva. He considers himself as an eternal servant of Lord Shankarsan. Now Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, and Lord Shiva and the personality of Godhead are non-different. This is what Brahma said, they are non-different, right? There is no need for Lord Shiva to worship Lord Shankarsana to become purified of material illusion. But Lord Shiva does this to educate the world about the transcendental tastes of devotional service, how to experience devotion. So when one hears all this about Lord Shiva, oh, we are talking about the non-difference aspect of Lord Shiva. When we talk about all this, one may argue that even Brahma is also an incarnation. He's also a guna avatar. So he's also non-different in that sense? No, because Brahma is mostly a jiva. Okay? But Lord Shiva is Shiva Tattva. Shiva Tattva is separate from Jiva Tattva. So Lord Shiva's position is different, actually, even from the position of Lord Brahma. So Lord Shiva's entourage, Goddess Parvati, all of them present there in that planet, they were encouraging Lord Shiva in his devotion to Lord Hari. And they were also being very, very devoted to Lord Hari. So seeing all this, Narada, he became very ecstatic. He was seeing this beautiful mood of all the residents. They were really liberated there. Everyone was so liberated. Everyone was so happy. Everyone was worshipping Lord Shankarsan. Lord Shiva was so ecstatic. Parvati was so ecstatic. Everything there was so wonderful. So vibrating his veena and nodding his head again and again, Narada began to dance like a madman, and he was just unable to control himself. He was so out of control that he couldn't even offer his prostrated obeisances to Lord Shiva. He He was just nodding his head. He wanted to offer obeisances, but he was in so much ecstasy, he couldn't fall down and offer his obeisances. And he told Lord Shiva, "You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy." And he began to tell Shiva about all that he heard from Lord Brahma. And Narada came closer, finally, to Lord Shiva to touch his lotus feet somehow. And at that time, Lord Shiva, he was flooded with ecstatic Krishna conscious pleasure that was driving him mad, and he couldn't even understand what Narada Muni was speaking. He was saying that Narada is trying to convey something to him, but he just couldn't understand anything because he was in so much ecstasy. So he was seeing that Narada Muni is coming, touching his feet. He was trying to tell him something. So Lord Shiva, he forcibly drew Narada close to him and he embraced him with so much love and he asked him, "Oh dear son of Brahma, what are you saying? What's happening? Why did you come here? What are you trying to say?" And Lord Shiva, he composed himself and he saw that a great devotee has come to see me. See the mood of Lord Shiva. He's thinking, "Oh, Narada Muni has come to see me. He's going to tell me something. A great devotee of the Lord has come. So now I should get absorbed in talking with this great Vaishnava." So Lord Shiva, he stopped dancing and he sat down. So Sanatan Goswami, he describes that when Lord Shiva sat down, he sat down on a straw mat in Virasana posture. So it's interesting how Sanatan Goswami, he gets into the details. Like how when we saw what was happening in the planet of Indra, we were seeing, how Vamanadeva was showing Abhaya Hasta, and then Kirti Devi came and offered beetle leaves, and he very beautifully folded it, and he was chewing pan. So we were seeing all these little details, like that Sanatan Goswami is getting into details of how Shiva was looking, how he was sitting, how he was talking with Narada Muni. So Lord Shiva, he composed himself and there was a straw mat there. So he went there and he sat down there in the Virasana posture. So there are different asanas, you all must be aware. Padmasana, Vajrasana, Virasana, so many asanas. So Virasana is a posture where the legs are at the back. So you put your leg from your knee, it goes at the back, but you don't really sit on the feet. When you sit on the feet, it's called as Vajrasana. You actually let it pass on the sides, you just put it at the back. So that is called as Virasana. That is one of the postures of, Lord Shiva likes to sit. So Lord Shiva, he sat there on a straw mat very attentively. He was sitting there with great attention to see what Narada had to say. Narada, he bowed down before Lord Shiva and he chanted mantras, offering his obeisances to Lord Shiva. The six-syllable Rudra Mantra was chanted by Narada to the life and soul of Parvati Devi, who is Lord Shiva, beginning with the verse, "Namaste Rudraya." So he chants that verse, that mantra. And then Narada Muni, he began to recite various prayers glorifying Lord Shiva. And all these prayers were glorifying Lord Shiva as the supreme controller of the universe. And he elaborately proclaimed the fullness of the mercy bestowed upon Lord Shiva by Lord Krishna. So when Lord Shiva heard this at once, what was his reaction? He covered his ears and he angrily replied. He said, "I am not the Lord of this universe, nor am I an object of Krishna's mercy in any way. I am just a poor soul. I am always hankering for the favor of the servants of his servants. I can only hanker for the favor of Krishna's servants because I am so unfortunate. I am unfortunate enough to really have that mercy. I'm still hankering. Wouldn't one pure devotee give his mercy?" So when Narada heard this, he became slightly worried. He thought that he acted offensively. So he at once stopped praising the non-difference between Shiva and Krishna. And in a very soft voice, he said, "But Lord Shiva, you know the confidential, mysterious glories of Lord Vishnu and all the Vaishnavas. You explain them very nicely. After all, you're a Vaishnava Acharya. You know everything." So Narada Muni, he was hoping that Lord Shiva will at least accept this praise, that Lord Shiva is a great Acharya and he understands the mysteries of the Lord. So Narada then said, Lord Krishna himself actually spreads your glories as the best of the Vaishnavas. You know, Krishna himself says that you are the best of the Vaishnavas, and Krishna actually sometimes, he himself worships you. So many times Krishna has taken boons from you in his various incarnations. Isn't that true? He asks Shiva. Here Narada is explaining some of the incidents that are described in other Puranas. Like for example, Vamana Purana is quoted. In Vamana Purana, it is described that Lord Krishna, sometimes he receives the Sudarshan Chakra from Lord Shiva. And it's also described, actually Samba, who's an expansion of Kartikeya, he became Krishna's son because of a boon given to him or a blessing given to him by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, when he heard all this, he actually just sprang up from there. He felt so embarrassed. He was sitting and he was listening. First he closed his ears and he said, okay, stop all this. And then Narada, his voice softened and he started telling about how actually he's very special and sometimes Krishna himself takes boons from him and all that. So when Shiva heard this, he felt so embarrassed. He just sprang up and he went and he closed Narada Muni's mouth with both of his hands. And he said, don't even mention that arrogance of mine. So he was so embarrassed. That is actually the greatness of Shiva. To be so powerful and yet to be so humble. That is real greatness. So that is Shiva. Lord Shiva, he was so embarrassed that he had offered benedictions to the Supreme Lord. And Lord Shiva said with a surprise in his voice, he said, just see how the Lord's pastimes are so inconceivable. He takes austerities and severe vows to take benedictions from a devotee like me. And I am so foolish, I'm giving benedictions. So Lord Shiva said, my dear Lord is so sober, his qualities are like the ocean. The ocean is so deep, too deep for anyone to measure, and what to speak of finding the bottom of that ocean. It cannot be moved from its place. One cannot even see the other side of the ocean. So like that, the Lord's qualities are unlimited. They have no boundaries. They have no restrictions. The Lord is so great that even though I have committed so many offenses again and again, I dare to be so arrogant to give the Lord boons, he never rejects me. So he said that, and we will stop here. Because Lord Shiva's glories are unlimited, it is so difficult to finish this. We'll stop here and we'll see how Shiva actually talks about himself, about the mistakes rather that he thinks he has done, how he has offended the Lord. Of course, he never offends the Lord, but still, his mood is something we will delve into in our next session. So any questions, comments, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, thank you so much for such a wonderful class. I have one doubt. In the beginning of the class, you were... Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. So in the beginning of the class, you were telling about that how Vritrasura got this boon.
Vrikasura.
Right? Vritrasura, right?
Vrika. VRK, Vrikasura, yeah.
Oh, Vrikasura, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was confused, because Vritrasura is something different than how...
Yeah, so Vrikasura comes much... No, it's not Vritrasura, not the sixth canto of Vrikasura. This is there in the tenth canto. Yeah.
But Vrikasura is same as Bhaumasura?
Bhasmasura, I think, no? Sometimes he's identified with Bhasmasura in other Puranas.
Thank you for clarifying that. And the last part that you were telling, that how Lord Shiva gave benediction to Krishna, can you just explain some few instances?
So there are, in other Puranas, it is explained, like Vamana Purana and other places, many incarnations of the Lord, when they come, they do worship Lord Shiva and receive benedictions from him. And two incidents are again and again told in some of the other Puranas, and Sanatana Goswami picks Vamana Purana for reference, where it is written that actually when the Lord desired a great son, he observed austerities and he prayed to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him the benediction that Samba will be born as a son. This is not there in the Bhagavatam, but it is there in other Puranas. Similarly, sometimes Lord Krishna, he receives Sudarshan Chakra actually from Lord Shiva. Though Sudarshan is actually his eternal weapon, there's no doubt about it, but sometimes the Lord, he gives that position to Lord Shiva and accepts Sudarshan Chakra from him as well. So like that, these descriptions are there in Vamana Purana and many other Puranas also. Even in the Shiva Purana, you'll find such things.
Okay, Mataji. So it's just mentioned in Shiva Purana, because I heard it, like those who read Shiva Purana, for them, they establish the point that Lord Shiva is greater than Lord Vishnu.
Yeah, they get that idea that Lord.
So that is why it is mentioned, or it's.
They get the idea and they have this concentrated. Faith on Lord Shiva, but again, to think that Lord Shiva is an independent bestower of anything, be it devotion or benediction, whatever, that's not going to take them beyond the universe. So that is also explained. The understanding should be in the correct sense.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. And I had a question.
Yes, dear Atishtosh.
I thought Lord Shiva worshipped Lord Rama.
Yes, that is also there in some of the places where it says Lord Shiva worshipped Rama, Rama worshipped Lord Shiva. All this is there in different places. But these are all pastimes because Lord Shiva likes to give a special position to Lord Shiva. Because he likes to glorify his devotees, give them some nice special task. Just like how Prabhupada was given the task of coming here and preaching. Krishna could have done it, Lord Chaitanya could have done it, but still he chooses, right? So like that, Lord Rama's Rama worshipping Lord Shiva is also there in some of the places. But actually, in reality, Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Rama, right? Lord Shiva is actually a devotee of Lord Rama. That's why in Varanasi, what happens? He goes and says Ramanam, right? He does Ramanam Japa in the years of people who are going to die, and they actually attain liberation in Kashi. Right? You've heard this, right? Ashutosh?
Yes. Taji. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for your association. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the beautiful class, very systematic and very clear. We felt as though we were entering Shiva Loka. You made it really interesting for us to imagine everything. Just one question in relation to what the topic about how Shiva worships Lord Ram and Lord Ram worships
Shiva. Please ask.
I remembered when you were talking about this topic that, in Ramanand Sagar's Ramayana, especially they show that in Rameshwaram, Rama
worships Lord Shiva.
And that time in the Shiva Loka, Shiva actually finally asked Shiva that, what are you talking
about? Your voice is not clear, Sarojanandani Mataji. Clear now, Mataji?
Yeah.
So, in Rameshwaram, when Lord Rama is worshipping Lord Shiva, just when the bridge is being built, at that time, Lord Shiva says that he is known as Rameshwara, because he says he gives two meanings for that, Rameshwara.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So, he says, Ramaha, yes, Ishwaraha, Rameshwaraha. Mm. That is one of the meanings. That is Rama, who is the Lord of Lord Shiva.
Hmm.
It also refers to Lord Shiva that way. And in this way, it also refers to, it says, Ramasya Ishwaraha Yasya, which means that Lord Shiva is the Lord of Lord Ram. He is Ishwar. So, in many contexts, especially in our Hindu philosophy, we refer to Lord Shiva as Ishwar. Sometimes, especially the Shaivites, they get the understanding that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Lord. Sometimes they even equate Lord Vishnu and, Krishna and Shiva on the same level. And especially because we talk about Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva as the three. So, I was just wondering because you can easily take the meaning of the words also, but we as Vishnu,
thank you for those inputs. They were very beautiful about the way you were talking about Rameshwaram and the meaning can be seen in two ways. Thank you for that. Yes, so your question is there any evidence that actually Lord Shiva is always in this mood? Because there is some sense of non-difference while there is also a sense of difference, right? That's what we are trying to understand here.
Yeah, so there wouldn't be any clear boundary to say that, Shiva is the devotee and Krishna is God. Because out of the 64 qualities that Lord have, I think Shiva has 60.
Right.
So in that sense, it is like Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, right?
Yeah, that's why Shiva Tattva is very complicated. It's neither here nor there. No, it's something. Yeah, you just cannot bucket it the way you can. Can actually explain the position of Lord Brahma, or the other controllers of this universe. Shiva is definitely special. There is something that is very difficult to put him in or categorize him.
Yeah, some areas are little always hazy, and we might be able to understand only when our devotion increases.
Yes. Just like how they say Guru Tattva is actually very complicated. You never understand it. So yes, Shiva.
Thank you, Mataji. Anyway,
thank you, Mataji, for your very sweet input. I mean, they were so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the call.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Let me see if I've unmuted everyone. I'm so sorry. I did mute some of you. Just please forgive me. I'm unmuting everyone. Okay. Yes. I think everyone is unmuted. Anyone else has any anything to add on or correct or, give your realizations?
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji. Please accept me now. The class is as usual, very nice, Mataji. And I had a question regarding one point, like many people who believe in Lord Shiva goes to Manas Sarovar, which is in the China border. So can you throw some light on that, Mataji? What is the importance and how is the place? How is it? Really that superior, Mataji? Can you tell some that
about Manas Sarovar?
Yes, Mataji. Because so many people believe that Kashi and Manas Sarovar are real abodes of Lord Shiva.
Mm-hmm. Anyone wants to comment on this? I really don't know much about Manas Sarovar. Can anyone please pitch in? Someone who has gone there or, heard the glories or have any connection with that place? Okay, so as far as I know it is near Kailash, so hence it is very close to the abode of Lord Shiva and it's worshipable. And I know that many devotees, they really find some spiritual connection in that place. And I have also seen videos, but I'm not able to comment beyond that because I don't know much about the glory.
But Mataji, is it really near to Kailash?
That's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong, but as far as I have seen, it's close to Kailash.
Oh. Yeah,
it's close in proximity.
Yes, Mother. Many people told that it is very, very spiritually very great place to go there. So that's what I don't know much about it. So I got this question, Mataji.
Okay, yeah. There are some pastimes as well, but I don't remember. I remember very vaguely. This is something I've read several years ago. So some pastimes that happens in Manasa Sarovar. But I don't know, Mataji. I'm not able to comment.
Okay, Mataji. Okay. No problem. But class was very nice, Mataji. You gave so many points about Shiva Tattva. Previously, I had got some questions about this, but those are clarified, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Supriya Mataji. Thank you for always coming and encouraging us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Snavilasini Gopi, Koti Koti Janda Pranam to your Vasilagaru. We never forget your assistance. Always you are ready for we have a question. Thank you very much for today's class. I don't have any question, but I want to share with all of you that my mom is 85 years old and her visa, drop box visa, is accepted and she's coming within 2 months. Thank you.
Haribol, we are so happy, Mataji. We are so happy you get so much help. Thank you. Thank you,
Mataji, for praying the Dhar Pranam.
Haribol, we are very happy for you, Vrinda Gopika. Mataji, thanks for coming back after your long break in India. Thanks for coming back on
Mataji,
the call.
Mataji, now it's very strict, so that's so much paperwork. But something is complete. And legally also 6 months is here, but now Dropbox visa within 10 days is here.
So very nice, wonderful, Mataji. Haribol.
Thank you very much for today's class, Mataji.
Dhanyavaad, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Haribol. Wonderful class as usual. I am so happy to be back. So happy to be listening to these wonderful, wonderful pastimes. I was just question about, I guess maybe a clarification. So as you're explaining that, I was always under the impression that only Lord Krishna or Vishnu could give liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain one more time? I mean, I kind of understand something similar to Guru Tattva. By the mercy of the Guru, we get the attention of Krishna, and thus we get liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain a little bit more about that whole position?
Yeah, so even I was actually honestly surprised to read about this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and then I did actually try to read up more, and this is what I found, that yes, actually the truth is that Shiva can grant mukti or moksha, but he becomes empowered to do so by the mercy of Lord Shiva. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, he is not independent to do it. You know, only if Krishna has the grants him that, he gets the mercy from Krishna, and he's able to do it as a channel. So this is what I could understand from all the reading. And there is a very beautiful. Actually, there is a collection of verses from different scriptures that talk about both sides. First and foremost thing, we should understand that Shiva can grant moksha as well as he cannot grant moksha. You know, it's both. But then we have to get it reconciled. So to understand first point, that Shiva, can this answer be long? Is it okay? Because this is very difficult to explain. Or shall I say it in writing?
Well, I don't mind. So it just depends on what everybody else's time is like.
Okay, what we'll do is I can actually send out the article itself. It's there on, you know, on our Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's webpage. The entire article actually explained very beautifully with so many references. So that can throw some clarity on how it works. Shiva can give moksha, he cannot give moksha. Both are correct. How it works, that I can send you as an article. Because you have to understand it from different scriptures. See, I just say it in a few words first, and then I'll send the article. Maybe that will work. So first point, that Shiva cannot give moksha is correct. Because, you know, you see that in Harivamsa Purana, there is actually a story. Harivamsa Purana is full of interesting stories. And interestingly, even in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami, he picks so many stories from Harivamsa, so many. He quotes on so many stories from there. So like that, there is one particular story, you might have heard of this, Gantakarna. You know, he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, and he would only accept the worship, I mean, he would only accept the fact that Shiva is worshipable. So he would have these gantas, bells on his ear, and if anyone chanted anything about Vishnu, he would, you know, ring the bell, because he just didn't want to hear anything about anyone else other than his worshipable Lord, Lord Shiva. But then, what happened in his case is, when Shiva became happy and he appeared in front of Gantakarna and asked him to ask for a benediction, this Gantakarna asked Lord Shiva to give him moksha. So at that time Shiva says, you're asking me for something that I cannot give. Only Lord Vishnu can actually give you this mukti or moksha, and there should be no doubt about it. So then he is instructed to go to Badri Tirtha, and he stays there, and in the hermitage of Naranarayana, and he worships the Badrinath, and later he receives liberation by the mercy of Lord Shiva. Actually, sorry, by the mercy of Lord Krishna or Vishnu, he receives liberation. So it proves that Shiva doesn't give mukti independently for the people who don't understand the fact that Lord Vishnu is the supreme. So because Shiva specifically says Vishnur eva na samshaya, so remember that only ultimately the benediction of liberation is coming from Vishnu. So I am like more like a channel. So like that, there are many statements, you know, in different Puranas, Kanda Purana, Padma Purana, like that there are hundreds of statements that clarify this point, that it is not that independently Lord Shiva actually gives the liberation, rather it is only Lord Hari who is actually capable of ending material life. Then there is also the statement by Lord Shiva where he himself says that I become capable of giving mukti. Yes, I am able to give mukti, but I am becoming capable of giving mukti only by the mercy of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu empowers me to give mukti. So like that, there are other statements and scriptures that talk about how Shiva actually starts giving mukti. So there's a compilation which I can send to you, but the principle that we understand from all these statements and how we reconcile the entire thing is that Lord Krishna independently can give moksha to all his devotees. Lord Shiva is able to give mukti only to some of his devotees who are actually correct. Devotees in the right sense, pure devotees, and how is he able to give? On account of the mercy that he has received from Lord Krishna, not by his independent sense. And the other way of understanding is that Lord Shiva is also one of the best of the Vaishnavas, so he can act as a guru. Just like how guru can, you know, relieve us from this material suffering and get us connected to Krishna, like that, just like how Krishna is actually not different from the guru, and the guru is not different from Krishna, but still they are different, like that, Lord Shiva is considered non-different from Krishna. So therefore, a person who is, if you really want to, a Shiva Bhakta who really wants to receive liberation should actually take Hari Bhakti from Lord Shiva to actually get liberated. So this is how you actually reconcile these different statements from various Puranas. Did that kind of answer, Mataji? I can also send it across.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, please do send it. I will read it, but thank you. That's very clear.
So there is also an audio recording about how the devotees read Sadashivaloka, how Lord Shiva, pure devotees. But these, again, it's again and again told by all the acharyas. They are not the karmis or the jnanis or even devotees who think Shiva is actually the supreme controller. So this is for pure devotees, how they attain Sadashivaloka. There's a recording about it. And even Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj talks about it. I can send you that as well. That is from what I heard yesterday. And also the other you know, quoted verses. I'll send it off. Thank you, Mataji.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Preeti Virasini. All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Virasini Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kamodaki Mataji. Please accept my dandavas.
Please accept my glories to Prabhupada. All the devotees. You know, Lord Shiva himself, I think it's in Padma Puran, that Lord Shiva, Parvati is asking, they are worshipping you, and they are also worshipping to who you are worshipping. Lord Shiva says, Aradhananam Kadesa Vishnu Aradhananam Tasmat. And better than worship of Vishnu is
worship of
and connected with so it's what is the worship. So this is so he says Vishnu is the one best worship. I mean to worship them. And so then he is connected with Vishnu. Lord Shiva is connected with Vishnu. He's like so then he is also highlights he considers himself as a devotee of Krishna. So also, the worship. He's also worshipable. Lord Shiva is also worshipable as a Vaishnava. So,
amazing. Yes, I mean, that's such a beautiful verse. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, that's so amazing, right? Thank you, Mataji. Thanks for sharing it.
Well, you know this.
No, but I mean, it is so relevant at this point for you to say it, you know. It is so relevant for our understanding. Thank you for giving it out now. Thank you.
Thank you. Rekisha, very wonderful. And one point, you were so excited. You were speaking very... I could see that you were in so much ecstasy and you were just giving out. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kamalaki Mataji. Thanks for your most wonderful presence.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. And very nice point that you are telling, like, you know, Lord Shiva is treated like a spiritual master who can take us to back to Godhead. It was very nice. And I mean, always I get confused because people always say that Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who doesn't believe God. So, now when you said like this, you know, we take Shiva as a guru and then, you know, who can take us back to Godhead.
Thank you so much, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for sharing your realization. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
This
is just a follow up on this Lord Shiva grants liberation discussion.
Yeah.
I was, you know, there's different levels of liberation.
Mm.
You know, where, you know, a person may just only understand that they're not the body.
Mm.
They don't yet understand that they have a relationship with Krishna. And then they might have, you know, realization or a sense of being one with Krishna's Brahman feature or, you know, or they might just gain entrance into the Vaikuntha planets, you know, and then there's Goloka, Vrindavan, you know, so I'm wondering if Lord Shiva, you know, we already said that he doesn't have independent power to grant liberation, but you know, in that same role as like a kind of guru, does he have the capacity to grant liberation to all these various levels, especially including Goloka yeah. Vrindavan. And the reason why I'm asking that especially is because he himself worships more like a Vaikuntha aspect of Krishna, you know, the Sankarshan, you know. And so since that is his worshipable Lord, I wonder if he even has the capacity to grant Krishna prem, you know. since he himself does not seem to have that kind of relationship, I was wondering if it's possible for him to grant that to us.
Actually, even I am wondering if he is able to grant that kind of a love in the sense of Krishna Prema. That doesn't appear to be discussed, or I have not seen a statement that Lord Shiva can grant Krishna Prema. The mm-hmm. question is a good question.
So when we talk about the... I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, so in our discussion today, when we talk about the fact that Lord Shiva does grant liberation, you know, as a channel for Vishnu,
mm-hmm.
what is the nature of that liberation that we're talking about?
We are talking about the liberation to Sadashiva Loka, which is actually one of the Vaikuntha. I know it's like an intermediary planet that it's somewhat like, you know, near Vaikuntha, like we saw in the Goloka chart, northeast corner of Vaikuntha, and then it emanates, right, from there. So we were talking about that abode, liberation up to that abode.
So when he gives liberation, it's for people to...
Goloka Sadashiva Loka, yes, that's what we were talking about. So if he really didn't touch about Goloka Vrindavan, I don't know if Sanatan Goswami has commented on this aspect of Lord Shiva giving Krishna Prema, which I've not heard of.
But of course, we
don't know the story of Gopeshwar Mahadev. He wanted to taste, you know, the these ecstasies, and he dressed as a gopi. We hear all that, but was he able to give Krishna Prema to others? I have not heard.
Well, you know, that is that part also that made me wonder, you know?
Yeah.
The fact
yeah.
that he does seem to have some kind of connection to Goloka.
He definitely has some kind of idea and a connection to Goloka, because we read the story of Gopeshwar Mahadev. But I don't know if he's capable of giving, you know, this aspect which you were mentioning, mm-hmm. Krishna Prema. I've not heard, but maybe if someone else has any reference or any inputs on this, you can actually please, I mean, it's a wonderful question. I've never even thought about it. So if anyone can actually give some inputs on this, that will be very helpful. Anyone wants to say about this?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Prachita.
Huh.
Then Prachita, you know, Vidya wanted to, well, their father, Prachin Bharisa, mm-hmm. he ordered them to go and perform tapasya, so mm-hmm. then he can produce people, no, I'm forgetting the words. Then they can populate the whatever place they
mm-hmm.
So they are all together, 10, mm-hmm. they are 10, and they are going for, and then Lord Shiva comes and gives them the stotra, mm-hmm. which is glorification of Krishna, mm-hmm. to chant these prayers. It's in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
So then they, Prachita, they, he instructs the Prachitas that you sing this, you know, this stotra and glorify the Lord this way. The Lord will be pleased with you. So it's like as a guru, mm-hmm. he's mantra. Rudra Git.
Rudra Git, yeah.
Mm. So we can see that he may not give the Goloka Vrindavan,
mm.
but he gives a way, he shows the how to go.
Mm.
His connection with the Krishna you know, glorifying Krishna. That this very nice prayer in there, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Mm. Yeah.
So, this we can see.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, we can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it helps or not.
Yeah, but we can actually check out those verses also and see if there is any connection.
Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kamalika.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. See, in one sense, when we say that getting Krishna Bhakti, if we get a, you know, what do you say, the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, we can achieve Krishna Bhakti.
Mm.
So in one sense, yes, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava.
Mm.
Right?
So yeah.
Taking his dust, the dust of his lotus feet, can also give us Krishna Bhakti if we aspire for.
Mm.
That's a big question mark. Like, what are we aspiring from? And what are we aspiring? And yes, like what Kamadaki Mataji is asking, is saying that about the word, the glorification of the Supreme Lord, that Lord Shiva sung before Prachetas, and then Prachetas went underground to this under ocean and they meditated for 10,000 years. So they were basically repeating this Rudra Gita. They were repeating the glorification that Lord Shiva was singing in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's all mentioned that they achieved Vaikuntha. But it's nowhere mentioned that the Prachetas went back home, back to Godhead. So, really, you know, this question is really good, but... still, you know, we should have a nice research on it, that how we just cannot speculate, but it's really Lord Shiva can bestow Krishna Bhakti. Because in one sense also it is mentioned that Krishna Bhakti can be given only by the gopis.
Yeah.
Because they only possess like Madhuri Maharani, Gopi Mati Radharani.
It's so true. Yes.
When Lord Shiva went to gopis to get that Krishna Bhakti.
Thank you, Kesira Mataji. Thank you for your input.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I have a reference, I guess. Excuse me. I was just looking at the Shiva, Sri Shivastaka sung by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he's actually asking in there, requesting, let me see if I can find, he's glorifying Lord Shiva. excuse me. And he said, excuse me. Verse 5. I'm going to try and chant it if I don't cough. Sunupurarjita Pada Padma. Sharat Sudha Bhruti Sukapradaya Vichitta Ratnaugha Vibhushitaya Premaname Vadya Haro Videhi. Obeisance unto you who brings happiness to your servitors as you pour on them the liquid nectar of your reddish lotus feet, which ring with charming ankle bells. Obeisance unto you who are adorned with an abundance of gems. Please endow me today with pure love for Lord Hari. So, and another verse also. Sri Naradayadya Satatam Sugopya Jignasitaya Suvarapradaya Tebhyo Harer Bhakti Sukapradaya Sivaya Sarva Gurave Namo Namaha. Obeisances again and again unto you who are forever inquired of confidentially by Sri Narada and other sages, who grant favors to them very quickly, who bestow the happiness of devotion to Krishna, who create auspiciousness for all, and who are the guru of everyone. So, and then the last one, Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya Tat Prana Nathaya Rasapradaya Sada Samutkanta Govinda Leela Gana Praveenaya Namaste, Namostu Tubhyam. Obeisances unto you who are a festival of auspiciousness for the eyes of Goddess Gauri, who are the monarch of her life breath, who bestow the transcendental mellows of devotion to Krishna, and who are expert at forever singing songs of the pastimes of Lord Govinda with great longing. Again, this is the Sri Shivashtakam by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was given to me by Dravida Prabhu many, many years ago when there was this whole discussion that I had about Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So maybe that will answer a few questions.
Yes. In these verses, it says that Lord Shiva is able to bestow that kind of prema bhakti towards Krishna. Is that in those three verses?
That's what it seems like. He says, please endow me today with pure love of Lord Hari. Mm. And it says, who bestow the happiness devotion to Krishna and who are the guru of everyone. Mm. So, who bestows the transcendental mellows of devotion to Krishna. So so what does that mean?
And that too coming from Mahaprabhu's mouth, right?
Yes, it was.
Yes, Nathani.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the reference of those three verses.
This is from the Sri Shivashtaka by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was actually given to me by Dravida Prabhu, who he's a senior devotee of Srila Prabhupada. He also edits the Vyasa Puja book of Srila Prabhupada. He's the one that translates all the many of the Vaishnava poems into Vaishnava songs into English kind of poetry.
Because I thought that the Shikshastakam was the only thing that...
Yes, that's exactly what I also thought. And so I asked him, I thought the Shikshastakam was the only one that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reading. Yes, as far as instruction, but this is a Shivashtakam that was chanted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Mm.
I will actually ask him where it is from. Maybe I could get more of a... clarification.
Because I'm also wondering what that, like you were saying, what does it mean that, when I say what does it mean, what does it mean that Lord Hari grants Krishna happiness when, Lord Hari and Krishna, they're the same person. You know what I mean?
No, I'm sorry. Explain to me, Hari, where you're...
The first verse, I think it was,
please endow me with pure love for Lord Hari. That part?
Yeah, where it says that it is Lord Hari who bestows Krishna with happiness. Did I hear it right? Where is that part where it says,
notice, obeisances unto you who bring happiness to your servitors as you pour on them the liquid nectar of your reddish lotus feet, which ring with charming ankle bells. Obeisances unto you who are adorned with an abundance of gems. Please endow me today with pure love for Lord Hari. That's the one. And then the next one was, please, who bestow the happiness of says obeisances again unto you, who are forever inquired of confidentially by Sri Narada and other sages, who grant favors to them very quickly, who bestow the happiness of devotion to Krishna, who create auspiciousness for all, and who are the guru of everyone.
I think that was the line there, who bestows the happiness
of devotion to Krishna.
Okay. And there...
And considering that we have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, so this is Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, he's speaking about Lord Shiva.
Yes, requesting love for Krishna.
Yeah, so he's saying that he bestows the happiness of love for Krishna upon his devotees, meaning the devotees of Lord Shiva.
So my understanding of this, of how it was, is that, so if we understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come in the form of a devotee, it seems to me that this is presenting to us the mood of a devotee of Krishna.
Yeah.
That how do we approach Lord Shiva? We approach him with that understanding that he is the guru, right, and that he could give us or connect us / give us maybe love of Hari, love of Krishna, as that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for.
Yeah, it seems like the same love of Krishna, like Krishna Prema. It seems to be referring to Krishna Prema.
Right, and but if you think of it, mm-hmm. as, you know, through Guru, Srila Prabhupada and Guru, that is also what we are requesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are requesting that mood of the Guru.
Yeah, so it does seem that verse seems to give evidence that Shiva, you know, is capable in the same, you know, like you said, in the same way that Guru does. He is capable of bestowing Krishna prema. I think it's that second verse seems to. Otherwise, why would Lord Chaitanya be asking him for it, right?
Exactly.
Hare Krishna. I think so. We should just leave this topic here, and you know, it's a really nice question, and maybe we all can look forward into it, especially P.T. Vilasini Mataji. If you can look into this subject matter into little more detail, and you can address it either tomorrow or in your next class, you know, that would be really great.
Yes, Mataji, I agree. It's come very late.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, thank you, all the three of you, for throwing so much light into the subject, all the four of you actually, for throwing light into the subject matter. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody, for exploring this question with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Gautami. Thank you, Paneshwari Mataji, Gaurangi Mataji, Kamadiki Mataji, and Kirti Rasundari Mataji, for adding on this. If no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the call. Thank you all so much again. Thanks to everyone who so nicely participated in the discussion. It was so nice learning from each one of you. We'll end the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyayavacha patitanam pavaneebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananda koti vaishnavarandakeja shila prabhu padaki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Thank you so much. Shri Shri Brihad Bhagavatam Rata Ki Jai Shri Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Ki Jai.
Thank you. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.